So we'll get started. This is the first of three Chazar Shirim, hopefully. So the sugyas we're going to deal with today are Masachet B'Kuvya, Kinyan B'Asmachta, which is really just an extension of Masachet B'Kuvya, and then Lava Berbis Pasaliyed. So first question we have to ask when it comes to Masachet B'Kuvya is what exactly is the issue with being Masachet B'Kuvya? Why does that make you Pasaliyedus? So the Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshes. Rami Bar Chama thinks that the reason why Masachet B'Kuvya is Pasaliyedus is based on Asmachta Lokani. In other words, it's basically just another form of Gezel, or the notion of Asmachta Lokani means that the guy getting involved in the gambling doesn't really believe he's going to lose, and therefore when you win and take his money away, you're in essence, you're a Gazlan. Rav Sheshes thinks that Kol Ki Agav Nalav Asmachta, Masachet B'Kuvya does not qualify as a case of Asmachta, but rather, the reason why you're Pasaliyedus is based on the fact that you're not Osik Yeshua Shalolam, a more technical kind of Gzeira Derabanan sounding sort of thing, that he has no connection to the normal function of society. The person doesn't understand how money works because he's always involved in gambling. Tosos, as he keeps on pointing out with all these sugyas, notes that this psul can only be a psul Derabanan, because even though you were doing a form of Gzeira Doraisa, even according to Rami Bar Chama, but Tosos notes that it's only a psul Derabanan because Eino Savar Lasvas Isser. This is Tosos Lashitaso. Tosos all over the place keeps on saying that whenever you do an Isra and you don't realize that what you're doing is a problem, so that's only a psul idos derabanan, even if the Isra you happen to be doing is a psul doraisa. And Tosos quotes Rias for this. He has the Gemara later on Chavav. The Gemara talks about a person who's a gazlan biyomei nisan or biyomei tishrei. Or the Gemara says if a person steals in nisan and tishrei, you're not pasulidus because everyone else is doing it. So again, not that it's mutter to steal during nisan and tishrei, but if you do because everyone else is doing it, so it that's a case of enos rav lasus iser. The second Rai Tosos quotes is the case of the chever kadisha where they would violate numerous halachos to bury mesa on yad tefrishon. They didn't realize that they were violating yisurim. So and even when they put it to chay, the Gemara says that they thought that it was only in order that other people shouldn't come to violate yontif. So again, that same idea that because it's eno savar lasos iser, so therefore they are not pasul liedus, even though they violated kam v'kam yisurim doraisa. So the Chidush Haran asks if Tosos is correct. So then why are they they should even be kasher midorabanan. I mean, why is there absolute in the first place? If Tosos is right that eno savar lasos iser is makes them kasher liedus, so why is it only kasher midoraisa? They should be kasher even midorabanan. So therefore, the Ran rejects Tosos' pshat, and the Rambam explains that when the Gemara says that a gazlan biyomei nisan of yomei tishrei is kasher liyedus, that's because the Baal HaBayis is in makbid, and therefore it's mutter lechadchila. The Baal HaBayis doesn't care if people come into his field during nisan and tishrei and take his produce, so therefore they're going to be kasher liyedus even lechadchila. Then the Ran points out that we know that there are different types of rishayim. You have a rasha dechamas, so a person who is a rasha in terms of monetary issues, for example, gazel, as opposed to a stam rasha, a guy who violates halacha that's not necessarily related to mamonos. So he says that there's a big difference between mamonos and other Soon, because in general, people have a bigger taiva for mamon when it comes to monetary issues than when it comes to other sorts of yisurin. So the question on the Ran is that, yeah, but the Gemara that talks about Yomei Nisan Yomei Tishrei is talking about mamon, it's talking about gzela, and yet the Gemara says beferish that such a person is still kasher liyedus. So how does the Ran, who just told me that there's a chiluk between mamon and other yisurim, explain that Gemara of Yomei Nisan versus Yomei Tishrei? So the Chiddush Haran quotes from Rabbeinu David and quotes Ayish Gorsin and Tosos, who hold that really the Mishnah are just dealing with Tzulim D'Oraisa. Tosos clearly rejects that shita, but there is a shita out there that holds that all the psulim and the Mishnah are really psulim on a level of Doraisa, including Masachet B'Kuvya, which would obviously have to fit in with Rami Bar Chama, because according to Rav Sheshes, Masachet B'Kuvya is clearly not psul Doraisa. Then the Chiddush Haran explains that, yes, it's true that Masachet B'Kuvya is a smachta lokanya, like Rami Bar Chama said, but it's not gzela. Why? Because you didn't do a maisa gzela. You didn't steal money from the guy. The guy handed you the money. I didn't want to hand you the money. Okay, but it's not gzela. It's not, you know, it's not formal gzela. So therefore, even though we may pass like Rami Bar Chama that asmachta lokanya, it may not qualify as gzela. Then he pointed out that the Hagos Mordechai quotes from Rabbeinu Nesano that the reason why he's not pasul midoraisa is because Rabbeinu Nesano paskins that asmachta kanya midoraisa, which is a tremendous chiddush. Most Rishonim don't seem to assume that way. And he says that at the end of the day, he's giving the money willingly, but since it doesn't look normal, it doesn't look right, so midorabanan we say asmachta lokanya. But on level doraisa says Rabbeinu Nesano asmachta kanya. We pointed out the Gemara at the end of Bava Basra Daf Kufay and Dalud discusses the din of Ari. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Parshas Miketz of Anochi Ervenu by Yehuda when Yehuda is meshabbing himself to Yaakov to bring Binyamin back. The Gemara says that's the makar for the din of Ariv. So Rabbeinu Nesano points out, you see from the fact that the Gemara is quoting a pasuk that it's a din d'oraisa. You see that the fact that the notion of Ariv is a din d'oraisa. I and every form of Arivus is in essence a violation of Asmachta. Yehuda never thought that he wouldn't bring Binyamin back. Every form of Arivus, the guy never believes that the law is going to default on a loan, and yet there's a concept called Arivus even midoraisa. So therefore Rabbeinu Nesano says, you see from this pasuk that Asmachta kani midoraisa. Because otherwise, Arvus is an outright violation of Asmachta. And yet the fact that it works shows that Asmachta kani midoraisa. So the Gemara itself asks this question on the din of Iris, asks about Asmach, which Rabbeinu Nathan completely seemed to ignore. The next line, the Gemara asks this, and the Gemara says that no, Ariv is different because Ariv gets a Hana, it gets a good reputation, so there's really some sort of a benefit that the Ariv gets that doesn't just make it a Stam Asmach, but there's really something else going on in the case of Ariv. So the Nasivos explains that the fact that the Gemara says this seems to show that Asmach, the Kanya, Nido Raisa, but Rabbeinu Nathan holds that since it's only Nido Rabbanan, and he says, therefore you could be Matir, let's say Asmach, in a case of giving tzedakah, in a case of helping out Yisomim, things of that nature. So Rabbeinu Nathan was Mekil there because he held it was only Midrabanan. Rashi said that the fact that you entered the case knowing that the outcome was Eino Biyados, out of your control, right? Gambling is completely out of your control, what the result will be. So therefore, you obviously were Meshabed yourself, believe Shalim, right? The fact that you decided to gamble knowing that you have no clue what the result will be obviously shows that you put yourself in a situation of gambling, as opposed to a case, for example, of Mashlish Ashtarosa, the Gemara also at the end of Baba Basra, about the guy who says that, right, the Mishnah on Kuf Samaches and Baba Basra, that says that, let's say, I owe Reuven $1,000, and I say, listen, I'll pay you half the loan today, and the other half I'll pay you in a month, and if I don't pay you the other half in a month, I'll pay you the full loan all over again. So I obviously don't believe that I'm going to have to pay the full loan. I believe I'm going to pay half now and half later. But let's say I can't afford to pay the other half later on, so now I'm going to pay the full thing. So the Gemara says, that's a violation of Asmach, because I never believed I would be in the situation that I have to pay the loan all over again. So that situation is biyado there, meaning even though I don't necessarily control what my financial standing will be, but it's more biyado. Masach Bekuvi is completely out of my hands. I have no idea if I'm going to win the gamble or not. The Gemara above Metzia has another example of this distinction by an artist, right? Guy who works based on commission, but there's a fear. The guy says, you know, if I hire a person to work my field as a sharecropper, so I'm afraid, you know, maybe he's not going to work the land. Maybe he's going to have a bad year. So he makes it tonight. He says, "Im over a shalim b'mitzvah." In other words, if I fail to work your field, if I don't work the field, so then he says, then I'm going to pay you back with the best land or with a lot of money, you know, more than I have. And then he says, So such a Tanai is blind. That Tanai works. But if the guy says, I'm over Hashalim El Zuz, guy says that if I don't work the field, I'm going to pay you an exorbitant sum of money, 1,000 Zuz, which is clearly way more than what you deserve for the land. So the Gemara says, that's not binding. That will be a violation of Asmachta. So the Gemara above Metzia was discussing a case of a person who goes and he buys some product in a location where it's very cheap. He wants to go somewhere else to sell it where that product is very expensive. But if he failed to sell it, so the Gemara says, in such a situation, we would say Asmachta Lokani. So the question the Gemara asks is, why is that case any different than Hashalim B'mitzvah? In the case of Hashalim B'mitzvah, so I don't believe that I'm not going to work the field. I think I'm going to work the land. And if I don't work the land, so the Tanai I made is binding. I still owe the guy the mita of the best produce that I have, the best product that I have. So the Gemara says that the difference is whether or not it's biyado. I can determine whether or not I decide to work the land. I could be lazy or I could work. On the other hand, deciding on whether I'm going to actually be able to sell something in a certain location is completely out of my hand. It's whether or not I get people to come by. So Tosus asks, he says, that you see from this Gemara, that biyado, when something is biyado, it's more kanya, it's better, which is against what Rashi said. Rashi sounded like that the less biyado, the more kona. Tosus says dafka the opposite. He says that when it's biyado, it's dafka more kona. So Tosus therefore quotes from the Ri that there are three levels. You have biyado manish, you have ein biyado mamish, and you have this middle category called biyado ve'eino biyado. So Tosus explains that we only say asmachta kanya in a case where it's ein biyado mamish. Masachik b'kuvya is ein biyado mamish. That's a situation that's completely out of my control. I have no idea if I'm going to win the gamble or not. So there we say, if you put yourself in that situation, that's your problem. You're meshabed yourself to be there. So therefore, we're going to say asmachta kanya. He says, when it comes to buying the wine at a lower price in one location versus another location, so that's biyado ve'eino biyado. That's somewhere in the middle because I'm not sure if I'm going to get people to come by. And then the case of Hashalim b'mitva is biyado mamish, right? Whether or not I decide to work the land is completely in my control. So therefore, Tosu says in a case of Hashalim b'mitva, we would say asmachta kanya in such a case. Tosu says, yeah.
Meaning
Tosos questions Rashi's track, because it sounds like from the Gemara that dafka, the more biyado, the more kanya it is, which seems to be against Rashi. So Tosos now has to come up with this new shot that there are really three categories. So Tosos explains that in a case of Ashalim b'meitva, I also caused him a loss, right, because I didn't work his field, and therefore he could have made a killing this year, and instead I decided to let his field lie fallow. Therefore, I'm chayav to compensate him in that case. So the obvious question is, according to Tosos, why is there a difference between Ashalim b'meitva and El Zuz? Why is Ashalim B'mitva Kona, but the case where I say I'm going to pay you 1,000 Zuz from exorbitant sum of money, why does that not work? So Tosas says, it says it's obvious, because he says that it's so clear, it's so obvious when you say such a crazy price like El Zuz, that you obviously didn't mean what you said. It was clearly an exaggeration, it was clearly a guzma, that therefore we assume lo kanya. Then we pointed out that the Ritva in the end of Baba Basra asks on that Gemara, that he says that Ariv, as the Gemara points out, is a form of Asmachta, but according to Tosfos, Ariv is a situation of Ein B'yado Klal, right? Ariv is something, again, you have no idea if the Lova is going to pay back the loaner. That's completely out of your hands. So he's, therefore he says, so how come the Gemara assumes that's a smachta? According to what Tosfos just told you, l'chora arif should be a situation of where we assume that's smachta lo kani, right? According to what Tosfos just said. So the Ritva explains that even though it's not biyadi, but you have some sort of halachic inside information, because the pasuk says in Mishlei that lo verasha v'lo yishalim. The Gemara explains based on the pasuk that people don't not pay back chovos. You don't have a guy who borrows money and just says, "Oh, I'm gonna leave it to the arif to pay." So since you know for a fact the person is not a type of guy who's gonna not pay back his chov, so therefore you could safely assume that you can rely on the fact that the lova will pay back. And he says more than that, it's like a double slap in the face for the lova, not only to not pay back the loan, you know, violate that halacha, but then to turn around to the arif and make the arif pay the money. So that's like a double, you know, like a tire to the wrist almost. Like it's like a double slap in the face to the arif. So therefore you can assume, you know, you could safely assume that the lova is gonna pay back that money. So the question we asked was that, is that there's no kinyan here. So how on earth is there even a machayev in the first place, right? There was never a formal kinyan. How could I make the guy pay the money? So the Ritva explains, no, there is a kinyan. The hana that you get is a kinyan, just like we find in the Gemara Kiddushin and Dav Zayin that talks about being mekadesh nisha with hana. So then the question is, why does the Gemara Baba Basra bother quoting a pasuk of Anochi Arvenu if the whole din of Ariv is just based on hana, like the Gemara Kiddushin? So then why is there a pasuk? So the Ritva says, oh, that's just an asmachta. Really, the din is based on kinyan kesef. It's based on hana, like the Gemara Kiddushin. That pasuk of Yehuda was just an asmachta biyama. So then we pointed out that let's say the lova owes money to the malva and he wants to pay him back an extra sum of money, but the malva says, you know what? Give that extra money to tzedakah. So that's what's called, the Gemara says, Nesinas Ma'os Al Piv, right? The Malva says, instead of giving me that money, I want you to give it to tzedakah. The Gemara says, that's a violation of Ribbis Doraisa. Why is that Ribbis Doraisa? Because he says, that's essentially, in other words, because he's getting, the Lova is listening to a commandment of the Malva, that's essentially a form of Ribbis. So the question is, why is Ariv any different? That's basically what Ariv is, right? That form of Ariv is when the Lova is telling the Ariv, I want you to pay back the money. So why is that not a violation of Ribbis? So we pointed out, you see, that Tosfos clearly did not accept the idea of the Ritva of Hanak Kesef, but Tosfos invoked this new idea called Nesinas Ma'os Al Peh, this idea where someone commands someone else to do something, that's also considered to be a form of Hana in that case. We pointed out that Ariv is a Gzeras HaKasev, and the very nature of the Gzeras HaKasev of Ariv is Nesinas Ma'os Al Peh, right? And the Gemara was asking about the case of Gemiras Das, was asking about a person who decided to give that money, and the way to get around the Ribbis issue By saying hana, since there's hana involved, so therefore you really are getting some sort of a benefit, and therefore it's not straight up ribbis. It's not like I'm, you know, it's like a one sided deal because I'm getting the hana that I can command you to give the money. So therefore, that's not considered to be a violation of ribbis. We pointed out from the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, the Rambam says that if I say I'm going to pay you $1,000, so then you're chayav to pay, and there's no masmachta there because there's no tanai. You just said I'm going to pay you $1,000, so that's it. So once I make a statement like that without any tanai involved, so then I'm chayav to pay you the money right away. So the question is again, but there's no kinyan involved. How was I just mishabing myself to pay you that money? So the Rambam says, oh, that's good for the answer. He says, just like an Ariv is mishabing himself without a kinyan, so you're also mishabing yourself without a kinyan here as well. So we said like this, we said that the issue is that you only need to make a kinyan on a cheftza. You can't be mishabing yourself without a kinyan. A gavra can't be mishabing himself. There needs to be a cheftza for the shibut to be chal on, right? So you can't just out of thin air say, I'm going to pay you $1,000. There has to be some sort of a shibut. We quoted from the Gemara in Kiddushin of Zion, where the Gemara talks about if a person is makadish and isha be kiddushay Ariv. So what does that mean? So if a guy wants to get married and he gives a ring and he's about to give a ring to the woman says, no, I want you to give the ring to my brother and I'm Kudeshes me. Then Arthur Gemara says, that works me Doraisa. It's a valid Kiddushin that's based on Ariv. So according to the Ritva, I understand that's Kinyan Kesef. According to the Ritva, that Hana that her brother got the ring, that's really a form of Kinyan Kesef. So I understand why the Kiddushin should work. And according to Tosfos Lechora, this is the Mukker for the din of Ariv, and it's like you're giving it directly to her. So that also makes sense. But according to the Rambam, that you're just mishabing yourself, how on earth does the Kiddushin work? Right? According to the Rambam, all you're doing is saying, oh, I pledge to give your brother the ring. I pledge to give your brother the money. But that's just a shibud. You're not giving the woman anything. How does that kiddushin work? So we quote from the Machane Ephraim, who says that just like an Ariv has a built-in hana, so this kiddushin also works bidin hana like the Ritva. Meaning the Rambam and the Ritva are saying very similar ideas. They're both saying that there's a form of hana. It's just the difference is that according to the Rambam, the hana is built into the case of Ariv. So here too, this kiddushin Ariv, the hana is built into the kiddushin. We pointed out from Rabbi Nutam, who said that the case of Aris, or let's say paying up the case we mentioned of Mashlish Darus, of paying up the rest of the loan later on, and then the guy defaults on his loan, has to pay back the whole thing later, that's a lose-lose situation, because there, the only possible outcome is that you're going to, in other words, either you pay back the rest of the loan or you pay back the whole loan all over again. So you're not gaining. Masaka Bekuvia is a win-lose situation. Either you're going to win the gamble or you're going to lose the gamble. So it says there's no asmachta there because you're putting yourself in a situation of potential hana that you may win the gamble. The case of Mashler Staros, in the case of the Aris, there's no chance that you're going to gain. You're either going to be, right, you're either going to be neutral or you're going to lose. So that's a lose-lose situation. So that's where you can invoke the asmachta lokanya. Masaka Bekuvia, you know what you're getting yourself into because you want the theoretical hana possibly winning the gamble, so therefore, as a result, he says that there we assume that there's no asmachta. Let me point that also from Rabbi Tam in what? That, correct. Sorry, correct. Correct. In other words, right by Masach Bekuvia, that asmachta would work because you know what you're getting yourself into. And then just to push that point a little further, right? Rabbi Tam above Metzia says that every other case of asmachta is the point is to get you to trust me. Right? I want you to trust me to make me into your aris. I want you to trust me that you're going to lend me the money now. But Masach Bekuvia, there's no you're not trying to foster a sense of trust. You're just right. There's no hidden agenda there. It's just I'm gambling. So either I win or I lose. So therefore, there's no therefore we assume that asmachta kanya. And we pointed out that an afkamin would be right, as the Gemara itself says, an afkamin would be if a person has another job. They're not just gambling all day, all night. So we pointed out from the Rambam that l'chor, there seems to be a stira in the Rambam. Because on the one hand, the Rambam says that a person who gambles like Gazlan, which seems to indicate that we pass like Rami Bar Chava, that asmachta lokanya. On the other hand, he says, if you have a job, you're kasher liedus. So that would only work according to Rav Sheshet, right? He holds that the problem with Sachet Bekuvia is the fact that you're in a osik b'yeshuva shalolam. So we pointed out two possible explanations from the Kesef Mishnah. Number one is that a person is playing for keeps, right? So that could be a person who's always pasaliedus. But if a person plays for fun, maybe he's not playing for money, let's say. So assuming that he has another job, so he may be kasher. If he doesn't have another job, so then we assume that really he's playing for money, because otherwise how is he supporting himself, right? So that's one beer of the Kesef Mishnah. The other shot the Kesef Mishnah says is that the case is where you're being gozel from a guy. You're gambling with a guy, and the Beer Hagra explains that's what's called gzeil midas hanigzel, because the guy signed up for it, but doesn't really want to give you the money, right? So in other words, those are two possible explanations to explain how you're sort of circumventing the technical gzeila issue. So either, again, we said according to the first shot that you're just gambling for fun and you have another job, or the other shot is that the case is where you're gambling with a guy. So then we pointed out that the Gra extended this comparison to Ribbis as well. So we question, is that a valid comparison to compare the case of Masach Makuya to Ribbis? So on the one hand, the Gemara above Mitzvah, we said, is discussing a machlokes as to whether or not there's a din called Hachzara service. Do I have to return Ribbis? If I, you know, Neged Halacha charged you Ribbis, am I not Makuya to return that Ribbis to you? So he says, and even the sheet that holds that you do have to return Ribbis, that's only based on Exeris Hakasav of a Cheyachicha Yimach and the Gemara above Mitzvah that says that I have to make sure that I'm not charging you ribbis. So that's only based on Exeris HaKasim, implying that it's clearly not the same as Gzela, because Gzela is a different pasuk, but pasuk of affairs, and Heshem is like Gzela Asher Gazal. So the implication is that even according to the Mandar that holds, right, that I have to return ribbis, that's only based on a technical Exeris HaKasim, meaning half the Amorim deny that whole din, and even the Amorim who accept the din, it's only based on a separate Exeris HaKasim, implying that ribbis and Gzela are two completely different things. On the other hand, when the Gemara talks about why does the Torah single out the Yisurim of Ona'an, Gzela, and ribbis, the Gemara says, that's all, you know, Lavar Allah B'Kav Lavar, Lavar Allah B'Shnei Lavar, and that implies that they're really just the exact same Yisur, just the Torah wanted to throw more Malkas and more Yisurim at you, but they're basically saying the same thing. So it seems, that sounds like a series. So which one is it? So he said that the Gra seems to be assuming that this is more of a din of Chosha Mishpat, it's more of a din of Gzela, and that it's based on Gzela Midas HaNigzal, and if not for the Chiddush HaTorah, right, of Chayachichimach, it wouldn't really, so then it really wouldn't be usher. We said also that if a person doesn't have a job and he's gambling, the assumption is that he's going to play against Jews, which we said before, at least according to one shot in the Kesef Mishnah, is going to be problematic if he's gambling against Jewish people. We quoted the Shulchan Aruch cites the Rambam, who says that when you win once against a Jew, that makes you pasul liedus, whereas the Ramah seems to assume like Tosos that we pasul like Rav Sheshes, that it's really a din in Osig B'Yeshuva Shalolam, which means that if I have another job and I don't gamble often, so then it could be that I'm still going to be kasher liedus. We also quoted, you know, just Bederech Musar, right, based on Rav Moshe's tshuva about not smoking marijuana. Rav Moshe points out that you really can't get engaged or get involved in anything which is addictive, and that's why the Gemara learns from the pasuk of Lo Sochu Adam Lawrence Sanhedrin learns the Isra become a Ben Sora Remora, because you can't. That's the reason why we're killing the Ben Sora Remora. He's not doing anything usher per se, but he's engaging in addictive activities, and that's going to be problematic. Okay, so that's the first. So again, then the next sugya of Kim Asmachta is really just an extension of this previous. So yeah, so we pointed out that Tosos explains that if there's Maos Al Hadaf, if there's money on the table, so then it's going to be a kinyan chatzir in either direction. In other words, because the assumption is, and again, how exactly this works is not so clear, but the assumption is that the two people who are gambling, at the time they're gambling, somehow own the gambling table, right? They own the, whatever, the slot table, they own the blackjack table when they're playing, but if the money is not on the, on the table, then the money doesn't belong to either person. And when you take that money, so there's no kinyan, that's mamash gzela, right? There needs to be a kinyan chatzer going on. If the money's on the table, so the assumption is that it's going to be a kinyan chatzer. So when you hand the money over, that's not called a kinyan. Why? Because you already lost, and you don't want to hand it over. So you're handing it over begrudgingly. So it has to be, the only way that this is going to even work in the first place is if the money's on the table before you start gambling. We quoted the Gemara Bava Metzia, which has a machlokas about how exactly kinyan chatzer works. Is kinyan chatzer mitam yad or mitam shlichas? Gemara on Dav Yud. So we quoted from the Birkas HaZevach, who holds that kinyan chatzer doesn't work for a guy, because a guy is not betorah shlichas. The Ketzos, we pointed out, vehemently disagrees with the Birkas HaZevach. It's against the Mefurish Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And the Ketzos quotes a question from his son Yosef HaKohen, that this Tosos is against the Gemara in Baba Basra, that chatzer hashutfin ain't okona. The Gemara says in Baba Basra that if I have a chatzer owned by multiple people, by shutfin, that chatzer cannot affect the kinyan chatzer. But the problem is that Tosos never says that chatzer hashutzvin, because in the case of a gambling table, when you bought it, you were makne the table lagamri to the other party. It's not like we both own the gambling table. It's whoever wins the gamble, that's the person who owns the gambling table. So therefore, that's a regular form of kinyan chatzer. That's not a case of chatzer hashutzvin. We quote from the Rashbam in Baba Basra, who says that when it comes to arba minim, so if the arba minim are owned b'shutfus, so nobody's yotzer. You can't own arba minim b'shutfus. But if they ordered one for the community, and you know they pass it on, and it's based on etc. So that would work, right? If you're makna b'matana to each person, so that's perfectly fine. We said the same would be true for a shul talis, right? You don't make a bracha on it, either because it's own b'shutfas, or because maybe it's not chayv and tzitz in the first place, right? Similar idea. So then we said, why do you need a table in the first place to gamble? Why do you need a table to bet? Why don't you just say it's a kinyan chalipin, right? Why do you have to come out to kinyan chatzer? So Tosas explains that if you hold a smachta lokanya by chalipin, that would only work in front of a bezdin chashiv. In other words, generally speaking, Tosu says that asmachta lokanya, we assume asmachta lokanya by chalipin, unless you're in front of a bezdin chashiv. The problem is that a bezdin chashiv only will only replace gemira's das if you hold asmachta. But we pass in that asmachta lokanya. So why is a bezdin chashiv going to change anything? So the Tosu Rush asks this kashya on Tosfos, and the Beir Hagbah writes that it must be a Tos Sofer. Why? Because if you look at Tosus and Irvin writes almost identically to Tosfos here in Sanhedrin, but at the very end, he just says that according to Rami Bar Chama, you need to have a bezin chashav. So fine, Aniach, according to Rami Bar Chama, you have to say bezin chashav, but we don't postulate that. We don't postulate in that situation. Therefore, bezin chashav is not going to help you. Then Tosu says, what about shiduchin? In other words, like the tanaim that we make when the father of the chasid and the father of the kallah make a tanai, that I'm going to reimburse, right? The chasid says, if I back out of the marriage, so I'm going to reimburse the kallah X amount of money. So the chasid obviously doesn't believe he's going to back out of the marriage. So lechor, if he does back out of the marriage, that should be asmachta. So why do we assume that that works? So Rabbeinu Tam says that in the case of Masachta B'Kuvi, you're betting, you're basically being Meshabed yourself because there's a chance you're going to win. So by Shiduchin also, you have a chance of profiting. So I don't think I'm going to back out of the marriage yet, but since I have a chance of possibly profiting, so therefore Rabbeinu Tam says is that you're essentially being Meshabed yourself and therefore it's going to work. Then Tosus further suggests that maybe it's based on a Kenyan. Yeah. Meaning, if he backs out of the marriage, he's going to be, I'm sorry, meaning the kallah and her family is going to profit, if theoretically he backs out, right? So then, Tosus further suggests that maybe it's based on what's called a kinyan situmta, right? So the literal context of situmta means the seal on a barrel, right? The Gemara talks about making sure that I could tell that I bought a barrel of wine from a certain person and that the barrel is still intact. So that's basically what we call minaga sochrim. In other words, it's a common practice, you know, in modern day equivalent, basically the form of a handshake, even though, right? And so in other words, anything which is normal for people to do today as a form of a kinyan. You shake hands with someone, that's considered a form of a kinyan. So that based on how the Dvar Avram, we pointed out, understands kinyan chalipin, he says maybe that would work. And we pointed out that maybe that's also the reason why Gemara says they used to throw fruit on the field by a marriage, because he says that's based on the pasuk in Megillah Asuras, v'zos lefanim b'Yisrael, right? That, in other words, that was always the minhag. So anything which is considered minhag asuchrim, anything which is like the practice of merchants, whatever they do, that's also binding in the form of kinyanim. Then Tosu says that maybe there's actually a real loss going on here, namely that you're embarrassing the family and the family of a kallah by backing out of the marriage, so maybe you owe them money for that. So the question is, well, how did Tosos know that there's going to be a real significant loss here? So he points out that the case of Ashali and Bemitva, we had in Gemara above Metzia before, is different because you caused him a loss because he could have invested with somebody else, right? The fact that you told the guy, I'm going to work your land, I'm going to make you money, and instead you back out and don't do any work, so you're actively causing him a loss. We pointed out from the Shach in Choshen Mishpat, who says if a person, let's say, has a contractual agreement, so you need to have Gemira's Das, but when it comes to Nezek, if I break your window, I don't need to have Gemira's Das. I owe you money when I break your window, regardless of whether I had Das to break your window or not, right? Because we assume that Adam would Chayav Liola. A person's always Chayav for Nezek, regardless of whether he intended to do to violate the Nezek or not. So the Ketzos asks, it's not really Nezek though, it's what's called Mevatel Kizo Shechaver. It's more like Grumma, right? So why exactly are you Chayav? And also he says that Boshes, this also the Ketzos is Kasha the Shach, that Boshes in a vacuum is not a Chayav for Mamun, it has to accompany Nezek. Well, you can't be Chayav for Boshes to stop. Boshes has to be accompanying something, right? For example, in a case where we say you're Chayav for Boshes, let's say by the case of Motzi Shemra, right? So by Motzi Shemra, there's also Nezek involved, right? You destroyed her Besulim, right? There are other things going on. It's not just Boshes. You can never just be Chayav for Boshes. It has to accompany the Nezek. So we pointed out that Hefseh doesn't mean that it's Nezek. Hefseh shows that there was Gemiras Das in the first place. So he said that whenever there you have Gemiras Das, that's going to be that is going to make you chayav. It's not going to be a violation of asmachta. So once again, but what happened to the kinyan over here? So where exactly is the kinyan that's making you chayav? So we pointed out again, that's a kinyan chalipin. That's what we do at shiduchin at the tanaim before the wedding. We pick up the pen, right? We do some form of a kinyan chalipin in order for that to work. And the ketzos says that in the case of ashalim and mitvah, you were kona because you signed off on the bottom of the shtar. So we pointed out that there's one sheet in the Rishonim that says that really asmachta is a problem, and Bezdin Chashuv, we pointed out what exactly does Bezdin Chashuv mean. Maybe Bezdin Chashuv refers to the Rabbanim who are in town. So he pointed out from the Gemara above Metzia, which says that if I lend you $1,000, so I can take your piece of land to sit on in case you default on your loan, and then if you do default on the loan, I can keep your land, and that's not called asmachta. Why? Because the Gemara says that's me'achshav. Kol me'achshav lav asmachta. The Gemara says that whenever you do something from now, that's not a violation of asmachta. Now, so we pointed out that, let's say if a person wants to perform a kinyan li'achar zman, right? If a person wants to do a, let's say a person wants to goes over to a girl and says a harem mekudeshes li la'achar shloshim yom. So the Gemara says that works, but it can't be what's called kolsa kinyano. If a person wants to either get divorced after 30 days or whatever it is, so the mechanism of kinyan that you're employing to set into effect in 30 days from now has to still be in existence in 30 days. If the kinyan, if the get disappeared, or the get burned up, or if the kesek kiddush is not here anymore, so then the whole thing is batel. So the question is like this: if you assume that every kinyan chalipin is me'achshav, like we just pointed out, that every kinyan chalipin is really setting in from now, so then why do you ever need a bezdin chashuv? Just do a regular kinyan. If you assume that kinyan la'achar zman really works regularly, so then why would you need to invoke bezdin chashuv to do that? Just say that the kinyan works, assuming that the stuff is still here afterwards. So we quoted from the Ran and Adarim, who quotes from Rabbi Nitam, that me'achshav only works in a case of the land where you're actually physically sitting on the land. But he says there's no such thing as me'achshav, meaning it's not that a kinyan la'achar zman works me'achshav. It's not that asmachta works me'achshav. It's that I'm sitting on the land right now, and therefore that's not asmachta because I'm right here. I'm sitting on the land. See, so it's not that there's an intrinsic tour. There's an intrinsic way to circumvent the problem of asmachta by calling it me'achshav. What was the context of that Gemara? We pointed out that in Nadar, the Gemara was talking about a person who comes to Bezdin with a list of rayos, and he says, you know, I have this raya that Reuven owes me money, and that raya that he owes me money, and none of those rayos are compelling enough to get the person, you know, to make Bezdin force Reuven to pay. But he says, oh, I have more rayos and more stars at home, and I'm going to bring you a million more rayos. So then says, listen, if you come back within 30 days, then fine, we'll look at your eyes, and if not, then the whole case, we're going to throw all your whole case out the window. So if he doesn't show up, so he's being mishabed himself. The guy says, okay, fine, if I don't show up in 30 days, that means that I'm agreeing to throw this case out the window, and I'm not going to prosecute Reuven anymore. So the Gemara discusses in that context issue of asmachta, because the guy obviously believes he's going to come back to Bezdin within 30 days, bring all of his rayas, and prove that Reuven really owes him money. So he says that this kinyan, it wasn't really binding because Bezdin really twisted his hand. Bezdin, the guy really didn't want to agree to that deal, but he didn't have a choice, because Bezdin said, either you accept our deal, or we're going to throw the case out right now. So the guy didn't really have a choice. That's a form of asmachta. So since it's not a regular kinyan chalipin, so it's not bound by the regular dinim of chalipin. So therefore, the only way that this is going to work is to come out to this idea of Bezdin Chashuv. Bezdin Chashuv is the only way to say, oh, when Bezdin twists your hand in a situation where you don't really want it, so then we can invoke Bezdin Chashuv. But stopping by kinyan chalipin to do something which a guy doesn't really want to do is obviously not going to work. And then we pointed out that the Rama writes that I should write on the shtar that I was modeb Bezdin Chashuv, because so does Baldim Kaveid. I mean, so even if you never went to Bezdin Chashuv, and even if there is no such, you know, even if there's no such thing as a Bezdin Chashuv anymore, it doesn't matter if I write that on the shtar. So the Rama says, Hodas Badl Kameinim Dame, and therefore that would work. Okay, now the final sukkah, we have Lava Baribis Pasalid. So Tosos quotes again, that as Tosos keeps on pointing out on this Mishnah, that everything in the Mishnah must be Apsol Rabbanan, and therefore the Mishnah must be talking about a case of a person who lent Ribis She'ina Ketzutza. Ribis She'ina Ketzutza means Ribis which is not fixed, and not a non-fixed amount of Ribis, because if it's Ribis Ketzutza, that would be a violation of Ribis Deoraisa. But Tosos says, no, you could even say Imtim Salom, we're talking about Ribis Ketzutza, but again, the guy doesn't realize he's doing an Isser, which again, we pointed out before, is Tosos the Shita. So, but it's Eno Sever Lasser's Isser, so that's not going to be an issue in terms of Pasaliadis. You quoted the Gemara above Matil and Daf Samachesim and Bees. The Gemara has a story about Rav Ilish, that Rav Ilish died and his sons were taken to Bezdin by someone because their father entered into some sort of iska, some sort of business venture with them. And the Gemara points out above Metzia that every case of Iska is what's called palga hava, palga pikadon, meaning like this: I shell out the money, and I get. You know, let's say you want to open up a pizza store, so I shell out money for you to go start the pizza store. So the Gemara asks, why is that not a violation of ribbis? Because you can't make money without him working, and the loan is basically in place of the guy who's working. So we said that some of the ways to circumvent the problem of ribbis is either maybe to let the guy keep some of the profits, or maybe we should make it, instead of making it a 50-50 split, make it 51-49 in favor of the Mekabel, so that's not considered to be ribbis anymore. So there are ways basically to get around it, to make it more compensation. That's why today when we do Heter Iska, so we basically, you know, formally give a dollar to a person to compensate with a flat fee, so this way it's more of a, I'm paying you for your services as opposed to I'm giving you a halva. So that would get around the issue of ribbis. Then we pointed out that we make an agreement that if any of the money was lost, let's say I gave you $100,000 to open up a business, and then you couldn't pay me back for all the money. So if you, let's say you lost the money, or the money was stolen, let's say for whatever it was, you have to take a shvud d'oraisa to prove to me that money, you know, was lost or stolen, let's say beyond your control. But if you can't prove that to me, so then I'm going to charge you the ribbis that I would have charged you if not for this whole iska. Now we also said that if you don't pay up front. Then the Iska also has an issue of ribbis. So we pointed out from the Rush, that the Rush is medayik from the fact that Rava says, Rav Ilish was a gavra rabba, and he would never cause the malva to violate ribbis, so therefore it must be that the case was where it was 51-49, as we pointed out before, that there was some way that Rav Ilish got around the ribbis problem. So you see from the Rush that there's no issur ribbis on the Lova, other than maybe lifnei either. In other words, there's no intrinsic issur of ribbis on the Lova per se. It's really, the issue is only on Rav Ilish, only on the malva. That's the only issue of ribbis. But we pointed out that Tosfos and many Rishonim disagree, and they think that was just maybe a poetic way of Rava saying that Rav Ilish was a big talmid chacham, not lav dafka that he actually meant that. Oh, that there's no isser of ribbis on the lovet. We pointed out from the Rambam. The Rambam holds that ribbis ketsutza has to happen b'shas halva, meaning when I lend you $1,000, so I have to say I want you to pay me back $1,050. Meaning if I don't make that tonight b'shas halva, so then according to the Rambam, that's not ribbis ketsutza d'oraisa. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says no. Even if it's b'shas piron, even if the time that you're paying me back, if I say pay me back another $50, that's also called ribbis ketsutza. But even according to the Rambam, if you extend it b'shas piron, let's say it's time to pay back the loan, and you say I need another 30 days, and I say okay, fine, I'll give you another 30 days, but now you're going to pay me back another $50. That's like a brand new loan. That's not going back on the previous loan. They pointed out from the what seems to be the Ritva, but it's probably not the actual Shitas Ritva that's quoted above Metzia, that the Lova is the one who's talking. But we pointed out that Ribbis Devarim, according to this potential sheet of the Ritva, is clearly not Doraisa, because it's not Katsus, right? Ribbis Devarim is something which is not fixed in place for the time of the Hala, therefore it's not considered to be Ribbis Ketsutza. Then we pointed out, however, that it could be that other Rishonim, maybe Tosos and Kedushin, maybe or disagrees with that. It could be that Ribbis Devarim really is Doraisa based on the Pasuk. And again, we'll explain what that means in 1 second. We pointed out that ribbis devarim could be something which is dafka din in the lova. So what's the notion of ribbis devarim? So we pointed out the Gemara Kedushin Daf Ches. Gemara learns out the Gemara says balchov kona mashkon. Right. So let's say you want to borrow $1,000, and I say fine, but you have to give me your watch as a mashkon in place. So at the time that I have that watch, when I'm the balchov, I now have your watch. I own that watch legamri to such a degree that I can even the kaddish issue with that watch. That watch completely belongs to me. Balchov kona mashkon. How does the Gemara know that balchov kona mashkon? So Gemara quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says ulachat yet staka. Gemara says that for you to lend money to someone is going to be a tzedakah. So the Gemara says if I'm not kona the mashkon, so why is that called a tzedakah? Right? If I'm not kona, so then tzedakah minai. So obviously you see that the balcho of kona mashkon. So Tosos explains on that Gemara that you can only be yotzei the mitzvah of tzedakah with money that belongs to you. Right? I can't give your money to tzedakah. So Tosos says if you look back at the first part of that pasuk, you'll see what the idea is. The pasuk starts off says the shachab b'salma so verachaka. It says that I'm going to return the guy's blanket and his pillows to the person who lent money from, and he's going to give me a bracha. So Tosfos says that what do you mean? Giving you a bracha is a problem of ribbis devarim, right? I lent you money and you're giving me back money plus a bracha, right? That's a problem of ribbis devarim. So the fact that the Torah is matir the loveh to give a bracha back to the malveh shows you that it's not a din of halva, but rather it's because I'm giving back something that belonged to me all along. The mashkon was really mine all along, and I'm giving you a matana. So a bracha for a matana is totally fine. A bracha for a halva is a problem. So the fact that the Torah is matir you to give a bracha when you return the pillow and blanket back to the malveh, but not to the other guy, that shows you that clearly balchov kona mashkon, because otherwise it would have been a violation of ribbis devarim. So Tosos' creative chiddush is that Tosos seems to think ribbis devarim is really a problem d'oraisa. Most of you probably don't accept that. That's what Tosos seems to assume. Pointed out that there may be nafkamina lalach. If I borrow a car from you, it could be that if I fill up the car with gas, you know, to full, and I got the car with half the gas, that could also be, you know, theoretically a problem of ribbis, possibly. Then we put that maybe not, maybe, you know, if it's only a couple of cents and it's not such a significant amount of money and people are mochel on that, so maybe it's not such an issue. We also talk about what if a person thinks someone at the beginning of their sefer, right? If a person writes sefer and he gives and he says thank you to whoever, right? If to a person who, let's say, gave him money to make the sefer, so that could also be a problem of ribbis torah possibly. Then we ask, almost tangentially, but also very important to the sugi, why is it not lifnei iver for the lova? Meaning, let's say there's no ribbis here technically for the lova, even if that's true, why would there not be lifnei iver? So we pointed out from the Minchas Chinuch discusses a person who is machshel somebody else in the isser of bishul akum. So he says that the machshel violates lifnei iver d'oraisa, even though bishul akum is only an isser d'rabanan, it's only xer d'rabanan to not eat food that was cooked by a guy. But lemaisa, you're doing lifnei iver on a level of d'oraisa, even though it's only a din d'rabanan. We quote from the Gemara of Rozar Davag, the Gemara's machluk is why it is that you cannot do business with a guy 3 days before their holiday. So once you know the Gemara is that he's going to come to swear in the name of their God because he's so happy. Tosfos in Sanhedrin again claims that reason no longer applies because the Goyim today aren't so religious. And according to the Rama, he also pointed out that Shituf, right, the notion of believing in multiple, not really multiple gods, but believing that Hashem works or God works with other beings, divine beings. So for a guy to believe that doesn't make them into Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So that's one reason. One time the Gemara said the problem is that you're going to cause them to violate the Isra of Lo Yishama Alpicha and come to swear in the name of their God. The other reason the Gemara gives it is based on Lifnei Iver. Why? Because you're going to get the guy to shech the animals for his idols, for his avodah zarah, and that's a problem. So the Gemara says, my nafkamina, either way it's us to do business with the guy. Nafkamina, if the guy already has other animals. So if you hold it's a problem of Lo Yishama Alpicha, that is still going to apply. If you hold that it's a problem of the animals, so he already has multiple animals to shech to his God, so you giving him more animals is not going to change anything. So the Gemara qualifies and points out that the Isra of Lifnei Iver is only violated in what's called Shrei Evrei Denara. In other words, if this, let's say for example, case of a nuzzer, right? So the nuzzer is standing on the opposite side of the river, and I have a cup of wine, whatever it is, and there's no way for him to get to that wine without me handing it to him. That's a violation of Lifnei Iver D'oraisa called Shrei Evrei Denara. But if the nuzzer is on the same side of the river as me, it's called Chad Evrei Hanar, so then there's no violation of Lifnei Iver. That's what the Gemara assumes. But the Tiferes Shmuel pointed out, right, that according to the Rush, there's no independent Isser for the Lova, and there's no Lifnei Iver because it's Chad Evrei Hanar. And therefore, according to the Tiferes Shmuel's Pshat of the Rush, it will be Mutar Lagamri. There is no, mamash no Lifnei Iver here according to the Rush. But if you disagree with the Rush's beer in this Gemara, then Lachor, it would still be a problem, it would still be an issue of Lifnei Iver. We pointed out from the Rush and Shabbos and other Rishonim who note that even Chad Evrei Hanar is a problem Midrabanan. Chad Evrei Hanar could be a problem of Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. And then we pointed out that the Ramak records a Machlokas whether there's even such a thing as Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. So the Shach says that there's really no machlokes because lifnei iver d'rabanan is really just another way of saying misayeya. In other words, that if I'm enabling someone else to do an aver, that's not lifnei iver, but it's still a problem of misayeya. What's misayeya based on? So the pasuk we have in this week's parasha, hochiach tochiach esam isacha. So the Gemara says, well, if I have to give a mussar to not do an aver, so kavachomer, I can't assist him, I can't help him out to do an aver. We pointed out that there's also an isra of misayeya for a Jew because you have to be mafresh the person meisura. But when it comes to a guy, there's no mitzvah to be mafresh a guy meisur. So the isra for a guy would only be lifnei iver, but there's no problem misayeya for a guy because I'm not mechuyev to make sure the guy doesn't do aver. It's just I can't be nichshal him to do an aver myself. We pointed out also that there's no lifnei iver midrabana for a guy, which it's basically misayeya. So we said that we're trying to find this kind of middle ground case of a person who's more like a Jew for ribbis, but more like a guy when it comes to misayeh. So what exactly is that case? We pointed out from the Shach, based on Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, that refers to a Yisrael Mumar, a Jew who's gone off the derech, a Jew who's an apikoros, a Mumar. So he says that lifnei iver only applies by Shrei Evrei Denara, but if it's Chad Iver Hanar, it's the same side of the river, then it's going to be mutter because there's no din of misayeh by a Yisrael Mumar. So we pointed out that the Rambam, when he describes his famous imagery of a Tinuk Shanishba, so Lechor, right, the Rambam says that all these kulas kick in when it comes to a tinuk shanishba, that would seem to go negative this whole pshat of the shach. The fact that we assume that a person who doesn't understand what he's doing, who doesn't wasn't brought up in a religious background, that would seem to go negative this whole idea that there's no isser of misayeh for Yisrael Mumar. Meaning it would almost imply that if I see a Yisrael Mumar bezman hazeh, a tinuk shanishba violating averos, so the Rambam would say like I do have to stop him. I can't be misayeh to do averos, which seems to be against the shach. So we pointed out from the Noyah Behuda, who quotes in his parish in the Dogel Meravava, that lahafrisho me isser, the notion of separating a person doing an isser doesn't apply when I know that the person is not going to listen to me anyway. So he says, when you have a tino shanishba, it's not that he's a Russia. It's not that I don't have to stop. It's that I know he's not going to listen to me just because it's not his fault. It's just he's just ignorant. So therefore, he says there's no isser of misayeh there. Then we pointed out that the Mishnah Lamelech questions the application of whether this is really a case of chadev or hanar because he's still going to end up lending to another Jew with ribbis, right? If I allow him to lend, so that could spiral out of control to allow him to lend to other Jews with ribbis, so that may still be a problem. But again, one could argue with that and say that he's gonna come to lend to a guy. Then we pointed out also that the Isser of Ribbis, so we raised the question whether the Isser of Ribbis on the Lova, is that connected to the Isser of Ribbis for the Malva, or is that somehow a separate Isser? So we quoted the Gemara Yevamos Daf Pei Daled, which discusses not only how do Isuri Kahuna apply to Kohanim, but it extends that to the Isser on the woman as well, meaning meaning there's an isra of lo yikachu. Not only can a kohen marry a grusha, but a grusha cannot be married to a kohen, right? It goes in the other direction as well. So the chakira we said is that isra on the grusha, does that stem from the kohen? Is that really, it's the kohen's isra, and the woman feels the effect of the isra, or no? There's two totally separate isurim. And again, nakamina is what we say, asedo chalos ase, or there's certain, maybe there's certain extenuating circumstances where we would say something else. We pointed out for the Gemara above Mitzia, the Gemara has a shita that yisomim are allowed to lend money with ribis, again, leaving aside the issue of being machil isurim lektanim, right? The issue of causing a katan to do an isra, which is Gemara points out at the end of Yivamos, is a problem. So Tosfos asks, why didn't Rav Nachman just say that it's an isra for the lovet, right? I mean, why didn't he just say that, oh, of course it's not going to be mutter for the yisomim, because the lovet is not allowed to accept the ribis. So either Tosfos says, yeah, the Gemara could have asked that, but the Gemara had a better question. Or Tosfos says, no, that mamish stems from the malva. And since they're ketanim, there's no isra here. So according to that second Mishnah Tosfos, you see that the lovet and the malva is yisurim of ribis, or mamish intrinsically related to each other. That's why if they're ketanim, so then there would be no isra for the lovet to be makabel to pay back the ribis. We point that for Rashi from his Shuvas writes very difficultly. Rashi says that ribis al yidei shlichus is mutter because it's only also when it's miyad malva miyad lovet, and therefore it's in shliach dvar avir. We pointed out that's very, very difficult up Shana Rashi. And most of them said that either the Rashi was Talmud Toa or we don't pass like that Rashi. The Rama writes that if it's clear that he's giving the money on your behalf, that's clearly miyad malve liyad love. And the Mordechai quotes from Rashi that for sure you can't lend to a mumar beribis because he's still Jewish. And the rewrites that it would be mutter to lend to a mumar because the Torah says the chaya chicha imach, meaning the isra of ribis only applies to give him chiyos, and since this person left the religion, so we're not mechuyev to do that anymore. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ri, and the Rama quote the Rama sides with Rashi's pshat. So Taz asks, why is that not a violation of living eiver? So he said that if it's not usher for the malve, then it's not usher for the lova. So again, once again, that pshat implies that the two isurim of malve and lova by ribis are intrinsically related to each other.